Okay, let me see. Okay, Bismillah. Okay, it's working. Okay, this is the Tawheed class, and we're going to continue on with the topic of the rulings concerning the Eid celebration. Cut that off. Okay, and before I begin today's lecture, let me ask some questions from yesterday to make sure that everybody understands what we're trying to teach. I know yesterday's class was interrupted by some idiot calling me on my cell phone, and whenever somebody distracts me, it's hard for me to get back in the routine, especially when I'm fasting. So hopefully that won't happen today. So let's get started. Let me ask you guys some questions from yesterday. Who can tell me what are the three celebrations in Islam? What are our three Eids? We only have three Eids, three celebrations. What are the three celebrations for Muslims? Who can tell me? Very good. The Eid al-Fitr is one, which follows Ramadan, which many of you will be experiencing in the next week or so. The Eid al-Adha, which happens after the people perform Hajj. And the third one is the Fridays. Very good. Fridays is our special day of the week. So those are the only three Eids that we have as Muslims. The Eid al-Fitr, the Eid al-Adha, and Friday. You'll find a bunch of Muslims trying to make up holidays like celebrating birthdays. We don't celebrate birthdays in Islam. Celebrating the Prophet's Mirage. This is not from Islam either. This is all garbage that people have innovated because they're trying to keep up with the Kafirs. And I'm always telling you guys, you need to stop trying to keep up with the Joneses and try to keep up with the Abdullahs instead. The Abdullahs don't celebrate no holidays except the ones legislated by Allah. The Joneses, they celebrate a bunch of pagan days because they like to party. So we need to be like the Abdullahs and leave the Joneses alone. Okay, next question. Why are the Islamic holidays better than any holiday that a Kafir has? Who can tell me? What makes our holidays better than any holiday that a Kafir could have? Very good, Amina, because Allah chose them. Our holidays were chosen by Allah Himself. They weren't man-made like Christmas and Valentine's and Sweetest Day and Mother's Day and Thanksgiving and Halloween and whatever. Our holidays were not man-made holidays. They were chosen by Allah. Next question. Islamic celebrations are viewed as what? Are viewed as a time to do what? This is another difference between our celebrations and the celebrations of the Kafir. Our celebrations are times to do what? Very good. Our celebrations are time to remember Allah. Good job, Brother Amir. These are times to remember Allah. Whereas for the Kafir, their celebrations are times to get free, to let loose and party and do everything that they can to get away from the remembrance of Allah. So that's another distinctive difference between our celebrations and theirs. Next question. What are some recommendations that we should do to help prepare ourselves for the Eid? We talked about things that we should do on the day of the Eid to prepare ourselves for the Eid. What are the recommended sunnah acts that we should do? Very good, Amina. One is to eat in the morning. To eat breakfast before the Eid al-Fitr. For this Eid that's coming up, it is sunnah to eat before you leave your home as a way of reminding yourself that fasting has ended. Very good. Another one is to take a bath. Take a bath when you wake up in the morning. Very good for men to wear perfume and new clothing. We talked about this for men only. This does not apply to women. Because remember, women, a woman who perfumes herself and goes out of the house, for each man who looks at her, who smells her, it is as if she has committed adultery with him. So a woman who perfumes herself and goes out of the house is no more than a prostitute in Islam. So that perfume applies to men. and wearing nice clothing. Remember, women, we can wear nice clothing too, but we're not supposed to bring attention to ourselves. We're not supposed to dress up like you see some of these women from Pakistan and some of these Arabic women doing. They dress up in all this gold and diamonds and sapphires and rubies all across their faces, their clothing, and they come out to the Eid prayer looking like a Christmas tree that's all lit up. Okay, this is not for women to do because we're not supposed to bring attention to ourselves. That applies to men. But another sunnah thing we can do, very good, is to take a different road to the mosque and back. When you leave for the mosque, go one way. When you come home another way. And we talked about the reason, the wisdom behind why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this was so he could greet everybody and congratulate everybody and salam everybody. Also, very good, Lexi. You men need to reflect on the fact that you should cover your head. When you men go to the Eid, you should wear a turban or a kufia or something over your head, a ghutra or whatever. Cover your head. It's the sunnah. Because we're supposed to be different from the kafirs. So very good. These are things that we should do in the morning to prepare ourselves for the Eid. And also yesterday, we talked about the place where the Eid is held. Who can tell me? It is sunnah for the Eid to be held where? Who can tell me? Very good. It is sunnah for the Eid to be held outside. The reason being is so that all the women can attend, so that the menstruating women and young girls can attend, but they have to remember to keep away from the area of prayer, which is known as the Musalla. Musalla is another Arabic term which refers to an area to pray at outside. It doesn't refer to a mosque. The mosque is a place of worship. But when you're outside playing in the open, you pick an area to pray at, and that's called the Musalla. The menstruating women have to stay away from there. Okay, so very good. Those are different things that we discussed yesterday about the Eid, the celebrations in Islam. And today we're going to continue now by talking about the actual what happens when you're there. What are the things that we can do and what things we cannot do? Well, first of all, takbir. Saying Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is the greatest. This is another distinctive feature for Muslims at our celebration. Now, so many Muslims today are imitating the kafir, okay? You go to some Muslim events, and instead of hearing takbir, you hear them clapping hands. We don't clap hands in Islam. This is not the behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of his companions. Clapping hands is Western culture, okay? European culture. That is not Arabic or Islamic culture. We do not clap our hands at celebrations, but unfortunately you go to some of these events, you guys can hear them being broadcast here at our website. They'll say, oh, here is Sheikh so-and-so to give a speech, and people start clapping. What is this? We don't clap. This is not the behavior of Muslims. One of the things that separates us and makes our celebrations distinctive from the kufar is that we give takbir. We say Allahu Akbar, just like Brother Quran did last weekend. Last weekend when Sheikh Morsi or somebody, I can't remember who it was, gave a good lecture, or was it Dr. Ali? Somebody gave a good lecture and the people said, oh, praise be to Allah, this is good. And then Brother Quran said, takbir. He typed takbir. And the people were like, what is this? His brother's typing. And he explained to him, this is what we do. We say takbir. Okay, we don't clap. So now a lot of people will ask the question, well, when does Tok Bir begin? Tok Bir for the Eid starts from the time that you leave your home till you get to the Musalla. So that means this is another thing that you want to do. When you leave your home next week to go to the mosque to pray the Eid prayer, you want to say Allahu Akbar, beginning with the time that you leave your house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave his house on the day of the fitr, and he would say takbir until he reached the place of prayer. Then he would perform the prayer. So this is what we should do when we leave our house. We should say takbir. We should say Allahu Akbar en route to the mosque. But I need to note something here. Saying takbir in unison is not permissible. And we got a bunch of deviant Muslims who do this. For example, Shiites and Sufis. They'll sit there and give takbir in unison. This is not from the Sunnah. This is innovation. So in other words, what that means is you and your children cannot be walking together to the mosque and all both of y'all going, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar in unison. This is incorrect. And in fact, this applies to any other form of zikr or mentioning Allah's name. You cannot zikr in unison. This is innovation, but we find so many Muslims doing this. So we want to keep in mind that when we go to the Eid, we're not supposed to be saying Allahu Akbar in unison. And you'll find so many Muslims doing this. This is not from the Sunnah. Also, a lot of people ask the question, they say, well, what are the exact words that we should say? We got so many Muslims who are always looking for specific du'as, specific dhikr, specific this. Okay, there is no authentic hadith on this planet that says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a specific wording in his dhikr. So anybody who tells you the Prophet used to say this, used to dhikr this, they're a liar, because there is no authentic hadith on this planet that states that. Instead, what we do have are narrations from the companions. The different companions used to say different things. For example, Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he used to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa la ilaha illhamd. Okay? We also have Ibn Abbas. He used to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa la ilaha illallah, or whatever. Okay? So we have different dhikrs that the companions used to recite. And remember, they never did this in congregation. They would never sit together in unison reciting any of this. These are things they would say to themselves as they await the prayer. Okay? So we have to understand, guys, when you go to the mosque, you see a bunch of Muslims sitting there doing that, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. And I've always asked, where they get this from? This is innovation. We do not zikr in unison. This is haram. This is what the Sufis do. This is what the Shiites do. Why is it that we have people who claim to follow the Sunnah sitting around zikring in unison? In fact, I even heard this at Sheikh Atli's mosque. Last Ramadan, he wasn't in the room, but I told him, I say, Sheikh Atli, you're broadcasting live to our website. I know you're on the telephone talking to me, Aki. But hey, the mic is on and you got some people sitting in there zikring in unison. He said, what? I said, yes, go listen. Okay? We can't do this. I don't know where this comes from. This is not correct, guys. We don't do zikr in unison. So a lot of people will then ask us the question, They asked us, what is the wisdom in the takbir? What is the wisdom behind us saying Allahu Akbar? Now, like Brother Karan Wasuna was trying to explain to you guys last weekend, and I was pretty proud of him. He did a good job. You know, because people were new here. Sister Lexi's was new, and I think Lexi's was one of them asking, why do we say, what do you say when you type takbir, what do we say? And he said, you say Allahu Akbar. And they were like, well, why do we do this? He said, this is the behavior of the Muslims. And he did a good job trying to explain it. I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the wisdom behind the takbir. The takbir is something that we proclaim in situations that may insinuate feelings of arrogance. For example, like Brother Karan did, if you hear a good lecture, Dr. Ali gave a beautiful lecture. So what do? We say all praise is due to Allah to help keep the ego from rising, to help keep the lecturer's ego from rising, to become arrogant. Or for example, if I give a good lecture, you guys would say, Allahu Akbar. All praise is due to Allah to help keep me humble. To keep me, yes indeed. Don't sit there and pat myself on the back and become arrogant. So this is when takbir is used. Another example, when a person slaughters an animal on the Eid al-Adha, when you go out to sacrifice your sheep or whatever, your goat. When a person slaughters an animal, and I know this because I've killed a bunch of them in my day. I kill animals all the time because I try to kill my own, you know, I go to Kroger's, you know, to the butchers there, and I tell them I want to buy my own lamb. I go right here to Kroger's, and I tell them, let me kill my own lamb. They'll let you come. You can work it out with Kroger's grocery store. They're all over America. The butcher will buy the lamb for you, and he will arrange for you to come out and actually kill it yourself. I kill my own animals. I kill cows, lambs, goats, whatever, through Kroger. Anyway, when a person slaughters an animal, he may feel arrogant because he has the power to kill. And I'm telling you, I know this because, hey, it's a beautiful feeling. I mean, I can't describe it, to slice the throat, especially of a cow. It makes you feel like, wow. So you could get arrogant. But so that is why we say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, as we slice their throat. We say in the name of Allah, Allah is the greatest, because it keeps away that feeling of power. You don't feel like, hey, I'm bad, I killed this cow. Okay? So when we sacrifice, we say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, because this keeps us from becoming arrogant. It helps you to remember your true position. And it helps you to remember that no matter how great and mighty you may think you are, Allah is the greater. So that's why, you know, you find Muslims slaughtering. We always say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, because it helps keep us humble. Especially if you are a person that suffers from arrogance anyway. You know, like some of us do. I have to admit, I'm better. I used to be very arrogant when I was younger. I was a very arrogant person. But alhamdulillah, Allah has helped me to change that since I've become older. I'm more humble to Allah. So I always try to abstain from arrogance. I'm always saying, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, to remind myself that Allah is greater than me. Because I've always felt that I was greater than anything else on this earth. Okay? Which ain't nothing wrong with that, but I'm not greater than Allah. Okay. Another time in which we would give takbir is when throwing the stones at Mina. When you're making Hajj. When you make Hajj, you have to throw the stones at the shaitan. Some people may feel arrogant, may feel like, wow, this is it. I'm being forgiven for my sins. I'm going to beat that shaitan down. But so that is why when you throw those stones, you say, Allahu Akbar, you give takbir. Again, to keep you humble, to remember that Allah is the one who is the most powerful. In their travels, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions used to say, Allahu Akbar. whenever they went up a hill. Okay, so we always give top beer. It helps to keep a person humble. So that's why whenever you hear a good lecture, like right here at the website, or you are attending an Islamic event, and somebody gives a good speech, you say, Allah takbir, Allahu Akbar, takbir, to keep the person humble. To remind everyone that even though that speaker may have given a beautiful lecture, Allah is the one in control here. Okay? And it's the same thing on the Eid. Saying Allahu Akbar, it makes the people remember that the Eid is a gift from Allah. That He is greater than worries or fears. And He's the one that gives you success. So this is why we give top beer on the days of the Eid. Okay? Another thing that is allowed for us to do on the days of the celebrations, and this is a question that I get a lot of. We got a lot of Muslims out there who don't want to let go of the fact that music is haram. It's a lot of Muslims out there who just can't let go of listening to their music. They can't let go of this. They say, well, we can beat the drum. Well, let's talk about the beating of the drum. The beating of the duff, as in what it really is. The duff is like a tambourine, but it's a drum that's got little cymbals on it, okay? First of all, singing accompanied by the beating of the duff is only approved for the women during the Eid, not men. It is only allowed for the women to sing and beat the duff on the day of the Eid. Unfortunately, you go to some of these masjids and you find on the day of the Eid all these brothers sitting there with their bongos and drums, and they sitting there beating the beat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This isn't wrong. First of all, that drum is not allowed. The duff is, and it's only allowed for the women. And in regards to the songs that the women can sing, these are songs that do not display evil deeds. And the men are not allowed to listen to the women's singing. The men can listen to the women beat the duff. But when those women start singing, the men are not allowed to listen, because guess what? It's haram for a woman to soften her voice in the public for men. Singing is softening the voice. Okay? When those women start softening their voices, the men are not supposed to be able to hear that. The occasions in which Islam permits women to beat the duff are the following. The women are allowed to beat the duff on the two Eids. They are also allowed to beat the duff at weddings. And they are also allowed to beat the duff to celebrate the arrival from travel of a respected individual. For example, say Sheikh Atli arrives in your city. The women can beat the duff to welcome him. That's it. Those are the only times that the duff is allowed to be used by the women. And the proof of the third kind, because I know somebody's going to write me asking me, what is the dalil? The dalil for the third kind is the hadith when a woman came to the Prophet and said, O Prophet of Allah, I have made a vow. If Allah brought you back safe, to beat the duff over your head. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down and told her, fulfill your oath. And she beat the duff over his head to welcome him to where she was. And that hadith is authentic. So there's a dalil. Okay? On these occasions, Hearing the duff, the beating of the duff is permitted for the men. However, again, it is not permissible for the men to listen to the women singing, because this is unjustifiably a source of great fitna. And we cannot try to use the hadith about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to Aisha and her friend play. Those were little girls. The Prophet's listening to two little girls does not constitute evidence in regards for this. Those were children. Children always sing songs. My nieces always play with their dolls and sing. That's different. We're talking about grown, bleeding women who know better. And by the way, despite what people may tell you, the privilege of using the duff is not granted to men on any occasion. I know a lot of you love Yusuf Islam. Yusuf Islam used to be Cat Stevens, but he plays the drums, guys. It is not allowed on any occasion for men. And again, the permission to sing during the Eid only applies to nasheeds. Nasheeds. Nasheeds mean poetry. The women can sing poems of good deeds and behavior. This does not mean that those women can put on some Mariah Carey songs or some Jennifer Lopez songs or some Britney Spears songs talking about we getting ready to dance. No, it only applies to women singing nasheeds, which is poetry, which encourages good deeds. Okay? We have to also be aware that about this clapping of the hands again. Let me get back to this clapping. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted some types of rejoicing on occasions of weddings. He permitted the women to beat the duff during the weddings and festivals. As for the men, not one of them would beat the duff nor clap their hands. But he did allow the women to clap their hands, while they celebrated, while they played their duff, okay? So there is evidence that the women would play the duff and clap their little hands and beat to it or whatever, but not the men. We have to remember that Allah curses those men who imitate women, and He curses those women who imitate men. Singing and beating the duff are the acts typical of women. Because of this, the companions of the Prophet would label a man who did that as being a faggot, as imitating a woman. So guess what? A lot of you men today, I tell you all the time, you wouldn't survive in the days of the Prophet. So many of us use this term, Salafi, and so many of us wouldn't survive a minute, because if you were living in the days of the true Sahaba, and you were a man beating a drum and singing like these other people do with these nasheeds they sell, you would be considered a faggot, okay? A gay faggot. You would be considered as imitating the men. And Umar, may Allah be pleased to him, would probably have you executed, okay? So the next time you guys play those nasheeds written by these people, where they're playing the drums and these men are singing all these songs, think about that. If they were in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wouldn't survive. Okay? So basically, guys, for today, that's all I wanted to go over for today. I want you guys to be aware of this. When you go to the Eid, again, remember, the women and men do not mix. We don't mix. There's no sitting together. Okay? The women are allowed to beat the duff and sing. But you have to remember when you sing that you cannot be near the men, because the men are not permitted to hear you. The men are not allowed to beat the duff, clap their hands, or sing or any of that at the Eid. Okay? So what are we doing at the Eid? We're basically eating. We're eating. We're doing acts of remembrance of Allah. We're congratulating each other on a beautiful Ramadan. We're talking, we're laughing, having a good time, but we're not indulging in dancing and all this crazy stuff that you find these Muslims doing today. Okay? So we're going to stop right here for today because I want you guys to think about this. And then tomorrow we're going to continue by speaking about the different greetings. How do we greet one another? Okay, so I'll stop right here. And if you guys have any questions, inshallah, I'll go ahead and ask them.